Vielen Dank and welcome everybody. World literature, ladies and gentlemen, has a problem with numbers. Not the phenomenon in itself is difficult to define, but the sheer number of literature in the world causes quite a headache. Google Books estimates the number of different books printed in the world in the last 500 years at around 130 million books. My colleagues from the library think this number is far too small. Instead, they calculate the number of printed books around 240 million books. About 20 of those books could be counted as fictional or literary books, which is something like 50 million books. No doubt, a vast amount of books, and even more if one thinks about the number of books a reader could read during lifetime. Arno Schmidt calculates the number of books we as human could read during lifetime in his Julianische Tage as follows. And now I switch sometimes to German. Setzen wir, dass man vom 5000. Tage an leidlich mit Verstande zu lesen fähig sei. Dann hätte man bei einem Green Old Age von 20.000 demnach rund 15.000 Lesetage zur Verfügung. Nun kommt es natürlich ebenso auf das betreffende Buch wie auch auf die literarische Aufnahmefähigkeit an. Das Kind schlingt seinen dicklichen Maiband in 2 Tagen hinunter und die schönsten Stellen werden sogar mehrmals genossen. Der Mann tagsüber im Büro oder hinter Pflug und Schraubstock druckst selbst beim besten Willen 3 Wochen lang überm Vitico, den ihm ein sinniger Kollege empfahl. Sagen wir durchschnittlich alle 5 Tage ein neues Buch, dann ergibt sich der erschreckende Umstand, dass man im Laufe des Lebens nur 3000 Bücher zu lesen vermag. Und selbst wenn man nur 3 Tage für eines benötigte, wären es immer erst arme 5000. More optimistic calculators operate with numbers from 4000 to 5000 lifetime read books, if someone reads about 100 pages a day and getting 19 years old, but no one is able to read above the number of 5,000 books. In comparison to the 50 million literary books ever printed, the number is indeed, as Arno Schmidt stated, a poor number. In sum, there is no way to read even a good part of world literature if you are not immortal. A solution not given to most of us. However, the idea to speak about world literature in a collective singular for all the 50 million literary works of the world of all ages and genres, or simply of only all canonical literature of all epochs and genres, this manner of speaking is definitely new and often correlated with Goethe. Before Goethe, no one had talked about the literature of the whole world. A phenomenon called world literature was of no interest and maybe beyond imagination. By contrast, the Goethezeit around 1800 is exactly the time where the idea of such a thing called world literature came up. In nearly all books and articles on world literature, Goethe is named for the very idea of world literature. The correlation with Goethe's name is, though, not precise from the point of view of a literary historian. Before Goethe, Martin Christoph Wieland has used the term Weltliteratur capturing the literature shared by free Roman republicans. And before Wieland, Johann Gottfried Herder had spoken in his Briefen zur Beförderung der Humanität from 1793 quite often about the new global republic of letters, where people share literature seemingly without any borders. Durch alles Reiben der Völker, der Gesellschaften, Zünfte und Glieder untereinander erwuchs immer ein größeres und feineres Publikum, das in Streite und Friede, in Liebe und Leid einander teilnahm. Auf diesem Wege bekam die rohe Kunst, der vom Bedürfnis erpresste Fleiß der Einwohner Europäens, nicht nur diesen ganzen Weltteil, sondern durch ihn auch alle Weltteile zum gemeinschaftlichen Boden. Was für den Krieg und für den Handel, für die Seefahrt und den Luxus erfunden und ausgeübt war, verbreitete seine guten und seine schädlichen Wirkungen auf alle Weltteile unserer bewohnten Menschenerde. Alle Völker Europas greifen hierbei ineinander und halten unseren Erdball für das Publikum, worauf sie zu wirken haben. Without using the term Weltliteratur, Herder describes in his letters concerning the advancement of humanities exactly what Weltliteratur means in the late 18th and early 19th century, the free exchange of books and of all goods due to the colonial role of the European nations. A global public sphere for books seems to be within reach. Herder is very much aware of the dark side of the new global world. He has quite a good sense how the area of literature has changed during the 18th century and why literature has but one audience, the global world. He also identifies one of the major reasons for the dominant role of Europe within the World Republic of Letters, that is the printing press. Welche Mühe kostete es in älteren Zeiten, Bücher zu haben und über einen Inbegriff von Wissenschaft zu urteilen? Jetzt überschwemmen sie uns. Eine Flut Bücher und Schriften aus allen Nationen geschrieben, ihre Blätter rauschen so stark und leise um unser Ohr, dass manches zarte Gehör schon jugendlich übertäubt wurde. In Büchern spricht alles zu allem. Niemand weiß zu wem. Von einem solchen Publikum wusste weder Rom noch Griechenland. Gutenberg und seine Gehilfen haben es für die ganze Welt gestiftet. With the 18th century, with the printing press and the colonial expansion, the global republic of letters became alive. Herder, as many at his time, has an ambivalent view on the new phenomenon called now world literature. In his skeptical account, Herder was heavily influenced by the Scottish Enlightenment. Likely that Herder read at these days around 1800 Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. The first attempt to see the world as one single economic area. During these years, new words came up in German language, terms like Weltwirtschaft, Weltverkehr, Weltöffentlichkeit, Weltpolitik, Weltgeschichte. With these new words, Enlightenment alters the common position of worldly versus sacred, with its negative connotation of the word world, and turned it into a new positive understanding of world as the place for the advancement of humanity. The global audience, the new public sphere of the world, is the direct outcome of the idea that humanity is a family. We share all our books with everybody of our family. A global republic is now more than a metaphor. Herder's enlightened hope was counterbalanced by philosophers like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who criticized precisely the expansion of the European culture much more harshly than Herder and the Scottish Enlightenment has done. As French Jean-Jacques stated, the colonial extension of the European civilization leads not to a world republic, but to a wider deprivation of the human nature. Obviously different in scope and evaluation, the Enlightenment is definitely the place of birth for the idea of a universal realm of literature, culture and history. And the debate is by no means limited to Goethe, as often claimed. The Göttingen historian like Johann Christoph Gatterer or August Ludwig Schlözer have started to describe the idea of a universal history of mankind where even the remote areas of the world are part of but one history of mankind, and influenced writers like Jürgen Osterhammer today. In these years, the explorer Gerhard Friedrich Müller coined the term Völkerkunde or ethnography to name a new discipline which deals with exactly all the new and now known people of the world he himself discovered. At these days, of course, many parts of the world and many people of the world are still unknown to each other. However, new disciplines, new words, new ideas try to make sense out of the expansion of the globalized world and think for the first time in secular terms of the world as one nation. The idea of a global republic of letters is part of this new interest in a world larger than previously known. Anthropology is such a new discipline of the one world thinking, founded by Johann Friedrich Blumenbach at the end of 18th century. And anthropology